Welcome to the Nonprofit Hub Radio Podcast, where we highlight nonprofit innovators, leaders, and influencers every week that are changing the sector for the better. I'm your host, Delaney Mullinix, Executive Director of Nonprofit Hub. If you're not for profit and all for purpose, you're in the right place. You see, we know you're already doing good, but we've designed this podcast to help nonprofit professionals find growth, joy, and connection. So tune in weekly for new episodes to elevate your cause, spread the news, and share the resources we share with you.
We'd like to thank Lasso Digital for sponsoring today's episode of the Nonprofit Hub Radio Podcast. Lasso Digital is your full-service partner in communications and fundraising, helping your nonprofit to raise more funds, share your vision, and achieve your mission. Learn more at lassodigital.co. That's lassodigital.co.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Nonprofit Hub Radio Podcast. Today's topic is nonprofit search engine marketing, specifically the Google and Microsoft ad grants. I had the pleasure of speaking with Nicole Vanderwall. She is actually a search marketing coach who empowers nonprofit marketers to generate consistent leads from their Google grants in-house. And so her passion is to teach by doing, and she hopes that by doing this, she encourages curiosity and confidence in nonprofit marketers and that organizations can make a bigger impact. So instead of taking the nonprofit search engine marketing off of nonprofits' plates, she's empowering them to do it themselves in-house. Well, to help us get to know you a little bit better, and before we dive into more kind of like on into the meat of this content, I noticed that you have some tattoos. So I'm going to call you out and I'm going to ask you to tell us about one of your tattoos and why you got it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have like quite a few, but a lot of people ask me about my finger tattoos. So I just have like sort of triangles. And yes, I've looked up online and triangles actually mean a lot of different things. Yeah. But the reason why I got them, it really signifies growth and forward progression. So I got them sort of, you know, after university when I started working with nonprofits specifically. And it's like, okay, how can I make sure, like when I look down at my hands every day, it's like, how can I make sure I'm growing and moving forward every day? So that's sort of why I got those in such a like a predominant place on my hands. But yeah, also like a lot of people that I work with, they sort of like when people see tattoos in my photos on my website, it sort of like will detract a certain person and it will attract another certain person. So that's sort of another reason why they sort of worked in my benefit. You know, like I'm really laid back. I don't, you know, put together pitch decks, proposals. Like it's very conversational. We talk if it's a good fit, you know, we go from there. I'm not like very formal at all. So it just sort of like really attracts that other person, you know, that's sort of like me, that's not formal, that wants to work with someone who's, you know, very organized, but also laid back and sort of, you know, open and outgoing.
Yeah, I totally agree. People can be professional in lots of different ways. And I love that you're just wanting to be authentic about that. We had a guest join us on the Nonprofit Radio Podcast who said something along the lines of, and this is a little bit different outside of a nonprofit looking for a consultant or looking for someone like you, a coach, but it was more so how can leaders recognize their employees for who they are and not just what they do. So I think like what you just iterated is exactly what that means.
Yeah, I think it's like now people are, especially now people are like more open to that. Like it's a lot less formal in the workplace. But yeah, I think it definitely like when I first started in the industry, it was like looked a little bit more down upon. So yeah, it's really neat to see just how things have like grown. And yeah, just really making something like my business my own, like just, you know, doing whatever I can to move it forward and to grow it.
Yeah, of course. Well, I know that we started talking briefly about the fact that, okay, so you can get a $10,000 Google ad grant to help with advertising. And your job title is search engine marketing or search marketing coach. Should nonprofits be engaging in that search engine marketing and why?
Yeah. So search engine marketing, there's like a lot of confusion between SEO and SEM. So SEO is search engine optimization. So that is really, choosing keywords to rank organically on Google. So not paying any marketing dollars to rank. And then SEM, on the other hand, is actually paying per click to rank above the organic search listings. So when someone types in, donate to charity, then the top three listings are generally paid listings and you pay per click for that. So how much you pay per click is depending on competition generally. So, donate to charity might be somewhere anywhere from $5 to $15 just for that click. So it's like a pay to play platform. So I guess why charities or nonprofits should be using search engine marketing. One, the grant is absolutely free, as you know. So this is, up to $10,000 that all nonprofits, all registered nonprofits can utilize to rank in those top three positions, basically on those search engine results page. So really, straight out of the gate, I always recommend that people get the grant and set it up. A lot of nonprofits use the grant to run their services or, their products that they might have. So, if you're talking about let's just say like a March of Dimes or a Susan G. Komen Foundation, then they actually offer a lot of services to people who are struggling with cancers and breast cancer. So it's really a lot of people use the grant to then run all of sort of what their own services. So try to, run ads to people who are struggling with breast cancer, who need help with breast cancer, who might need, financial assistance, whatever that may be. A lot of people keep that in their grant and then the paid account. So that's completely separate from the grant. So a lot of people run then keywords that are quite competitive in the actual grant account. So things like donate to charity, whatever that may be, donate or 5K walk or something like this that are more competitive. I guess, and just to pull back a second, I know I didn't mention the difference between a grant and a paid account when we're talking about Google is that the grant account cannot compete with any other advertisers. So you're sold leftover inventory on Google. So generally, keywords that have little competition are your service-based keywords, right? So, like breast cancer support, cancer help, financial assistance for people with cancer, things like that. Those are going to have very low competition. And then the paid account, you can then bid on any keywords that are high competition. So it's sort of a free for all. So if you have a keyword that is high competition, you can't run it in your grant because it won't deliver. It needs to be in the paid account. So like I said, generally the strategy or the structure is that you'll have all of your service-based keywords in your grant, your brand keywords in your grant, and then you'll have a paid account to run like those more revenue-based keywords where you're getting, actual absolute revenue dollars back to your organization.
Yeah, that's interesting. I feel like maybe I vaguely remember someone saying that Google might change that. Have you heard anything about that changing or?
Yeah, so it's actually funny. So I don't think it will ever change, to be honest, because really Google is just selling ad slots that can't be sold at a price that they can't sell to paid advertisers, right? So I don't think that that's ever going to change the way that they structure that. But it's funny you bring that up because Microsoft actually, in response to Google, being so restrictive in their ad grant, created their new ad grant that just launched and that has zero restrictions. So the reason why they created that, they said that the Google grant was too hard for nonprofits to set up and maintain with all the rules. So this new Microsoft grant is basically a free-for-all, and it acts just like a paid Google Ads account. So there's no restrictions. You absolutely can rank for keywords that are competitive. So that's sort of what's happened on the Microsoft side of things. But I don't think the Google grant will really change. I think it what they have it set up as now will probably be sort of what it always set up as.
Yeah, this is a perfect segue because my next question is, what are the differences between the Google Ad Grant and the Microsoft Ad Grant? And wow, what a big benefit to use Microsoft Ad Grant, because we have ourselves been questioning, and right now I know it sounds like applications aren't even open for the Microsoft. You said ads for social impact is the term that they're using right now. Talk to me about why you would encourage, or maybe you don't encourage, nonprofits to get both kinds of grants.
Yeah. So I would say it depends on like your manpower, right? In your organization. If you're like a one man band and you're running your organization, you're wearing like 7,000 different hats, then the grants probably aren't right for you because they really do need a bit of time to set up and maintain. But if you do already have the Google grant, you're already maintaining it, then it's really easy to also get the Microsoft Ad grant. Reason being, you can easily import your entire account from Google into Microsoft. So you don't even really need to do any new keyword research, new writing ads, nothing like that. There's literally like an import function. So you can just pull all of the accounts straight into Microsoft and then run with whatever you have running in Google. That being said, there's been a bit of controversy around the Microsoft Ad Grant. So they launched it at first at $3,000 per month. So we just got emails, I want to say a couple weeks ago, and they're reducing that ad grant. So now it's only $1,000 a month, which everybody is a little bit upset by because, I mean, nonprofits put a lot of time into building these accounts thinking that it was going to be a long-term tool for them to use. And now it's been cut by a third.
How long has that even been going?
Yeah. So I think I want to say, and like, don't quote me on this, I want to say last, like maybe October. Or no, maybe
October of 22, because that would be almost only 1 year since it's been open.
It's definitely not been more than a year. Like, I think it's just been a year since it's been opened. I can't speak to like what's happening with Microsoft, but I think that like a lot more people took advantage of it than they thought. So that's why they've closed it. So it's been closed for a couple of months, but I've heard whispers that it's going to open at the end of this year. So they should have things ready to go, I would say, in the next couple months, really, to start accepting new applications. Yeah. But yeah, that being said, it's only like it's gone from, you know, a $36,000 grant to a $12,000 grant. So it's been cut pretty significantly. So a lot of people are a little bit worried about it and not sure if that's going to still benefit them. I think when we talk about $1,000 a day, you have to really divide that by 30 or 31 to find that's your daily budget is $33. It's really not that much. If the average cost per click is about five, we can divide that by five. And then you're getting what, 6 to 10 clicks per day. So it's really not that much when you break it down. I think my recommendation
that cost is per click the same on Microsoft as it is on Google. That was kind of like my questioning around pursuing the Microsoft ad grant, because we would, for our specific organization, we may allow the company who's currently managing our Google ad grant to manage our Microsoft ad grant. However, when I heard that it was $3,000 compared to $10,000, and I know that Bing takes up like less than 10% of the search engine marketplace compared to Google, but my Google ad grant management company is going to charge me about half as much as they're charging me for the Google ad grant management for the Microsoft ad grant management. And I'm like, this isn't like apples to apples, I don't feel like, in my mind. And so when you said that at least Microsoft doesn't have these restrictions like Google does, I'm like, okay, so maybe they incorporated that as this value add. So you don't need the 10,000, you could have 3,000, but it's actually good because we're not having these restrictions. All of this is interesting.
Yeah, it's, oh my gosh. I love how you are like going through the same sort of like process, so we can just, I can answer your questions. But yeah, that's like really interesting. And yeah, I guess like my recommendation, a lot of people are asking me like, what do I run in the Microsoft grant if I only have $1,000 per month? And yeah, like less than 10 clicks per month, like realistically, I think like I would recommend. And that's why it's been really beneficial being a nonprofit and having the $3,000 per month prior, because you could play around and see what was working. But I would always recommend like the keywords that are going to drive you the most return in ad spend. So if you have like your donate to keywords in your Microsoft grant and you're getting revenue from them, you'll want to cut back to just have the donate to. Obviously that seems a bit easier for someone who's already had the grant, but if you're coming in fresh and you don't, I would generally recommend trying a little bit of a display activity. So you can actually run display ads where it's like, you know, your just static photo of whatever that may be, your organization or how great you guys are, what you do for the target. I would always recommend running a little bit of display ads because that's just really bringing new users into the organization. So other than that, like a little bit of display and then maybe a little bit of brand as well, depending on sort of if you're ranking organically for your brand or not, with that sort of tiny budget. And then I guess I didn't mention as well, if you are an e-commerce business, so you have monetized any products on your website with your nonprofit, the Microsoft grant, you want to go for shopping ads. You actually can run shopping in the Microsoft grant. So absolutely would first priority shopping if you're not an e-commerce brand and go for some display and some brand activity. And yeah, try to get that $1,000 per month to go as far as you can.
Hi, this is Kevin Burgess, the editor of the Nonprofit Hub Radio podcast. We'd like to thank Lasso Digital for making today's episode possible. Your nonprofit is changing lives, and you deserve top-tier support to tell the world about it. That's why Lasso Digital offers a wide variety of marketing and fundraising services, from year-end appeals and capital campaigns to advertising and social media management. No matter what your needs, they can help you find the best strategies to accomplish your nonprofit's goals. Lasso Digital is here to be your partner in expanding your impact and reaching the people who matter most. Raise more funds, share your vision, achieve your mission. Learn more at lassodigital.co. That's lassodigital.co.
What inspired you to empower nonprofits to do it in-house versus becoming a consultant or a company who takes on nonprofit clients to continue doing it for them?
Yeah. So that's a really good question. So I guess the whole like DIY and like helping them do it themselves in-house, it really hits hard for me because I come from working from agencies, in the US, in Australia, I've worked with agencies on a number of clients and really, there's no reason why the nonprofit can't run it themselves in-house. I think a lot of nonprofits sort of have the fear that they won't really have the technical knowledge or the skills, or they won't be able to keep up with the industry, the ever-changing industry. So I think it's bridging that gap between helping them feel more confident and feel more secure in their skills so that they don't need an agency. And you know, some nonprofits absolutely do need agencies, and I think there's a reason why agencies exist for those huge nonprofits who don't have the time, don't have the resources to run it in-house. But I'm speaking rather specifically to those who have the resources, who have someone on staff that can run it in-house. Just really helping them. Like when we think about, you know, an agency management retainer, you're talking, let's say on the cheap end, you know, $500 to $700 per month really to manage any type of search ads, even just the grant. So when we look at $750 per month, that's $9,000 per year. That means that the nonprofit needs to at least make $9,000 to break even on their investment. So that's sort of where I was like, hang on a minute, this just doesn't make sense. There is no way that these nonprofits should be paying so much to an agency, especially small to medium nonprofits who really don't have that sort of excess budget lying around. So just really bridging that gap between teaching them how to do it in-house and helping them really get a return on their investment quicker and sooner and really getting that success internally.
Yeah, exactly. We outsource our Google Ad Grant management, and I was actually considering that same exact thought today. Like while we're paying, you know, quite a bit to use this, it's almost like the entire value of our grant is going towards paying a company to do them for us. So it is interesting. Well, tell me maybe a success story of a nonprofit that you've helped them bring this Google Ad Grant management or this Microsoft Ad Grant management internally, and how they've used it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm thinking of specifically an organization, and I probably won't share like too many details just for privacy, but last year I helped a nonprofit here in Australia that also offers services globally. So, you know, to a lot of different countries, actually get the Google grant. So this will probably blow your mind, but a lot of nonprofits just don't know about it, which is sort of why I'm trying to get the word out. But yeah, so they had no idea about the Google grant. We chatted about it and I helped them apply for the grant. It was approved about mid last year. And not kidding you, like the first month, they were spending the $10,000 straight away, yeah. Which I think for a lot of nonprofits is a bit of a struggle. Generally, you'll spend around, you know, $4,000 to $6,000, let's say. But to spend $10,000 the first month is pretty mind-blowing. So basically what that means is that they had zero competition on all of their sort of service type keywords that they're running. So, and they're extremely niche, right? So it's a very niche organization. They actually educate people all over the world on mosquitoes and yeah. The different like fevers and illnesses that come around mosquitoes and sort of, you know, how to really protect organizations and communities from outbreaks. And it's just like really neat, but something you would never think of.
I'm not laughing, but like I've definitely searched about things that can come from a mosquito bite, because in the fall, at the end of the summer in Michigan, it is like all out madness, mosquitoes everywhere. There's so much water in Michigan. It's absolutely miserable. And yeah, I mean, there were so many different things happening from mosquitoes. Like this was like a huge problem. And so I feel like every year my friends and I are all like, what kind of like diseases are we watching out for this year? And they're pretty nasty.
Yeah.
They cut you off. Like I definitely search for these things. Like I would, if they had shared a resource on side effects of like mosquito bites and like illnesses and stuff that are coming, I probably would have found them.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Same. And like, I discovered all these new things that I should be worried about with mosquitoes as well, which is also fun. But yeah, so it's just like almost no competition on any of the terms that a user might be searching for that would want to get to their site. So it was very easy for them to spend the whole 10 grand, so much so that they actually hired on a new starter. So they made the budget available and hired on a new full-time staff member that was going to just be running the grant. So that's like a really amazing way to sort of see the grant grow an organization, I guess from the outside, but also from the inside, and really creating new jobs and getting more people, you know, upskilled and trained across the grant.
Yeah. I mean, that means that they were bringing in so much revenue from the Google Ad grant that it paid for an entire staff salary. Like that's pretty
not exactly, but I think it would be you could definitely get to that for sure with the grant, with your brand keywords, right? Like generally you can drive revenue with the brand, but no, it wasn't. So it was basically bringing in so many like leads and people interested in the content on site that they needed to hire someone else to write like good content and to update the content, figure out sort of where the leads go and that whole user process.
So it was the Google ad. Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of like the other side of things, but yeah. So it's sort of someone to be able to manage that sort of content system and what the funnel looks like at the organization.
Yeah, of course. Well, that's very cool. I mean, is there anything else that our listeners should know about search engine marketing? You're the specialist. Let us have it.
Yeah. Gosh, there's just like so much. I think right now, especially, there is a new campaign type that has come out. It's probably been out for a couple months now. They sort of rolled it out slowly to advertisers, but it's called Performance Max, and it's super simple to set up. So this can't live in the grant account. So this has to live in the paid account. But it's really easy to set up. You really give Google, you know, images, videos, a couple headlines, description lines, so just a bit of content. And then they basically run your ads across all of the Google offerings. So across Gmail, across YouTube, across display, across search. It's really a one size fits all campaign. And it's, like I said, it's super simple to set up. And it's really working well with the nonprofit clients that I'm working with currently. So if you are potentially on the fence with if you should run pay ads or not, and you're not sure sort of where to start, I would absolutely recommend looking into that Performance Max campaign type, because it's super simple to set up. And it's really something that can run forever. It will get better with time. It's definitely a good time to get into search engine marketing, because how simple it's getting. They're making it really easy for advertisers to have, little to no experience in setup campaigns. So this is a really good time in sort of search in general to get into the game.
Yeah, of course. Well, I love that you're helping people do this in-house. I have a personal motto of when I don't know how to do something, or I think something's scary or intimidating, I always just say to myself, if someone else can do it, so can I. And I think that's 100% true. Like, it might take a lot of practice. It might take a lot of looking things up on Google, trying to take a class on something, but you 100% can learn pretty much how to do anything and everything. And I keep thinking about the song, like, anything you can do, I can do better. So power to you guys in nonprofits. Like, you can 100% run like your own Google Ad grants. And Nicole can help you with that if you need to learn this in-house.
Yeah. And I have, if nonprofits are interested in like learning more, I have on my website, there is just a free course that'll teach you how to get the grant. So it's literally watching over my shoulder as I apply for another organization. So that'll be like one to get your $10,000 per month grant. And then on my website as well, there's like a free mini course if you're sort of stuck and don't know how to get started. And then once the Microsoft grant opens again, which hopefully is soon, I also have that application process. So if anybody is like sort of just listening to this podcast and, sort of didn't know about either grants, and this is like just mind blowing to them, then those will be sort of the first resources to get started.
Amazing. Thank you, Nicole. Well, we always try to include one segment at the end, and I know the Performance Max was probably a little bit of good news, but is there any other good news that you can share for the nonprofit sector?
Yeah, I think good news, like Performance Max, that's really good news. So it's making it simple for advertisers. But I think also like the way that the industry is changing a little bit, at least from like my perspective of like, let's say the US and Australia, is that nonprofits are running things in-house, running their ad accounts in-house, whether that's Facebook, all socials, email, search. So I think one of the main reasons why nonprofits don't run their accounts in-house, aside from not having the resources, is that they really don't know where to start. They don't know how. They don't see other nonprofits doing it, so they don't think that they can do it. But I think this is a really good time where a lot of nonprofits are bringing their accounts back in-house. So it's just going to be more visible, and other nonprofits are going to see those nonprofits run it in-house, and it's really going to be a ripple effect. And I think a lot of nonprofits are going to bring their accounts back in-house in the next year or two. And it's going to be like really exciting. I was thinking about like some sort of community to create where nonprofits can see other nonprofits running paid search and paid social. And yeah, because it's, I think being able to see other nonprofit marketers, aside from wearing their million hats and having no resources, do it and thrive is the key to other people doing it themselves. So I'm hopefully can make that more visible to other nonprofits. But yeah, this is the year to bring things back in-house.
Yeah, I love that. Well, maybe Nonprofit Hub can help with that vision of having a community for that. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Nicole. It's been a pleasure. We will talk to you guys next week on the next episode of the Nonprofit Hub Radio Podcast. Bye, everyone. Thanks for joining us for this Nonprofit Hub Radio Podcast episode. For more resources on fundraising, marketing, and all things nonprofit, be sure to check out the number one nonprofit toolbox at nonprofithub.org. We hope you'll join us next week for another episode of the Nonprofit Hub Radio Podcast.